Chapter 5. Knowledge Above Mortality. Knowledge above mortality is knowledge proper. Mundane knowledge has no value, for it does not endure. We must inquire elsewhere for permanent knowledge. Real knowledge is stable. It has a firm foundation, and Vedic education deals with how to acquire that knowledge. The meaning of the word Veda is know. No rhyme or reason is shown why you should know, and no explanation is given, simply know. Because doubt is absent in the spiritual plane, no cheating is possible. It is a simple, direct transaction, know. In that transcendental plane, everyone is a confidential friend, and they are stainless in their conduct. No cheating tendency is possible there, so there is no suspicion. Here we are in the plane of misunderstanding and doubt, so we want to examine everything. We are living in a vulnerable and vitiated plane where people cheat one another. We cannot rely on others, for they may deceive us. But where cheating is unknown, transactions are very simple and straightforward. So no reason is given for suggestions that come down from that plane. Now the question arises, how to attain that sort of true, comprehensive, and non-deceptive knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.34, Krishna says, Tadviti pranipatina pariprashnena sevaya upadekshandite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. To learn knowledge above mortality, you must approach a self-realized soul, accept him as your spiritual master, and take initiation from him. Inquire submissively and render service unto him. Self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you, for they have seen the truth. We have to approach the domain of knowledge with self-surrender, honest inquiry, and a serving attitude. We have to approach that plane with the mentality of slavery. Higher knowledge will not serve a person of lower status. If we want perfect knowledge at all, we will have to serve the Supreme Lord. He will use us for his own purpose, not that we will use him. We may be subjects in this mundane world, but we will have to become objects to be handled by the super knowledge of that plane. If we want to connect with that higher knowledge, we must approach with this attitude. Pranipat means that I have finished my experience here. I have no charm or aspiration for anything in this world. Then there is pariprashna, or honest, submissive, and humble inquiry, with sincere eagerness, and not with a challenging mood. Otherwise, perfect knowledge won't care to descend to us. Krishna is already full in himself, so we have to enter his domain only to fulfill his purpose. He can't be subservient to us, for we are tiny persons with meager experience and a conception of mean fulfillment. We cannot handle him. We can approach him only if we like to be handled by him. So such a favorable environment should be created where real knowledge is to be cultivated. That knowledge is supreme and cannot be subservient to the mundane conception, the world of mortality. It is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means unassailable existence, Chit means consciousness, and Ananda means beauty and pleasure. I must try to relieve myself of my present material miseries and inquire after a proper land where I can live happily. Having come to this conclusion, we will have to search for a person who is a bona fide agent of the higher world and consult with him about how we can be relieved from this present undesirable environment. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21, it is said, Tasmad gurung prapadyeta jigyashu shreya uttamam shabde pare cha nishnatam brahman upashamashrayam. What is the conception of real good, and who is considered to be a bona fide agent of the truth? One who has knowledge of the scripture that has descended from the upper domain, who has theoretical as well as practical knowledge of higher truth, must be approached by a bona fide inquirer, for such a qualified spiritual master can impart proper knowledge to the sincere student. In the Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12, it is also stated, Tadvijnanatang sagurung evabhikachet samitpani sotriyang brahmanishtam. In order to learn transcendental knowledge, one must approach a genuine spiritual master coming in disciplic succession, who is fixed in the absolute truth. In this verse, the word tata means after this. When one's calculation is finished, he thinks, life is not worth living here in this world of birth, death, old age and disease. I must have a better world in which to live, where I can live as a gentleman. At every moment, death is devouring everything. Birth, death, old age and disease, all these troubles prevent me from fulfilling my ambitions here. I want something categorically different. At that time, taking the responsibility on his own shoulders, without giving any trouble to the guru, and at the risk of poverty, ill-feeding, and so many other hardships, he will approach the guru. It is a free transaction. Not that he will give something to Gurudev, but he will collect what is necessary for sacrifice, for education, and at his own risk he will approach the spiritual master. And what will be the position of the guru? He will be well versed in the scriptures, the Shruti Shastra, or that knowledge which can only be acquired through the medium of sound, by attentive earnest hearing, Srotriyang Brahmanishtam. Brahmanishtam means one who is established in Brahman, spirit, and who is acquainted with the causal position of the universe. That is described in the Upanishads. Jito va imani bhutani jayante, jena jatani jivanti, jat prayanti abhi sangvishanti, tad vijigashashva tad eva brahma. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1. The Supreme Brahman is the origin and shelter of all living beings. When there is a creation, he brings them forth from their original state, and at the time of annihilation, he devours them. After creation, everything rests in his omnipotence, and after annihilation, everything again returns to rest in him. These are the confirmations of the Vedic hymns. Jasmin bigate sarvamevang bigatam bhavati, jasming prapte sarvamidang praptam bhavati. By knowing him, everything is known. By getting him, everything is gained. We have come to inquire about Brahman, the biggest, the all-accommodating principle, by knowing which we can know anything and everything. And it is possible, it is not impossible. The Upanishads say, if you want to know anything, then know the whole. And what is the nature of the whole? Everything is coming from him. Everything is being maintained by him. And again, everything enters into him. That is Brahman. So try to know that. If you can know that, everything will be known to you. This is also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.14. Chatatoror mula nishe chanena, tipyanti tot skanda bujo pashaka, prano paharach chajatendriyanam, tataiva sarvaharnam achutyaja. Just as if you pour water onto the root of a tree, the whole tree is fed. And just as when you supply food to the stomach, the whole body is fed. So if you can gain knowledge of the prime cause, Brahman, then you can know anything and everything. Faith in this is called Shraddha. The Vedanta Sutra, the very gist of the Vedas, says Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you've finished with the fruitive activities recommended in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas by Jaimini, we ask you to inquire about Brahman. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Janmajasya yato Navayad itaratas chateshu abhigya swarat. Friends, let us inquire into the prime cause, whose nature is such that whatever we can see and whatever we can conceive of springs from him. He is the ultimate cause of everything, both directly and indirectly. Only he knows the purpose for which all things are created and maintained. Only he knows where all things will go. Only he is aware of that fact, no one else. Arteshvabhigyasvarat means that he knows the meaning of every incident in existence, and that he is above giving any explanation to others. He is not responsible to any law or to anyone else. He is absolute and independent. And how do we know that? He has extended knowledge of himself through the Vedas. Brahma means Veda. So, by the line of inspiration or revelation, Vedic knowledge was transmitted to the first living being, the creator of the world, Lord Brahma. Tene Brahmarida Yadi Kavae. The scholars of the world fail to understand the strategy and nature of that sort of knowledge. They cannot follow the vital and fundamental points of Vedic knowledge, such as the transformation of one thing into another, bhuyanti yat suraya. Water may be transformed into gas, gas may be transformed into ether, earth may be transformed into heat. By such a process we can understand the existence of this world. Tejo vadi mridang jatha vinimayo jatta trisargo mrisha. For by the transformation of the Lord's energy, this world comes into being. This transformation involves the three modes of nature, tamas, rajas, and sattva. Tama means hard, static matter. Raja means energy, and sattva means spirit, light, knowledge. So by transformation, this world has been created. In his abode, which is illumined by the ray of his own knowledge, there is no possibility of deception or misunderstanding. Dhamna svena sada nirashta kuhakang sattang parang dhimahi. Here, we are being deceived through misunderstanding. We have entered a plane of existence where the whole world is full of misconception, falsity, and miscalculation. We are presently living in the world of Maya. Maya means Maya, what is not. I am seeing something which is really something else. Ishavasyam, everything is meant for God. That is the Hegelian theory. Reality is by itself and for itself. Hegel is the founder of ideal realism. So he says, reality is by itself and for itself. By itself means that he is his own cause. No one has created him. Otherwise, whoever had created him would have primary importance. For itself means that God exists only to fulfill his own purpose. This is the universal truth. Everything is for him, and nothing is for anyone else. So, when we think that the things around us are meant for us, or for our nation, or for the human beings, this is all a false calculation. And knowledge based on such a miscalculation has its reaction. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. I am eating something. It is entitled to eat me. In the Manu Sanghita, the word mangsa is used to indicate meat. Mang means me and saha means he. Mangsaha means me he. What is the meaning? I am eating him, and he will eat me afterwards as a reaction. He is entitled to devour me as I am at present devouring him. This is the underlying meaning. Every action, whatever it is, has its reaction. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9. Jagatat karmano nyatra lokojang karma bandana tadatang karma kontiya mukta sanga samachara. Unless work is done as a sacrifice for Vishnu, one's own work will be the cause of bondage. Therefore work on my behalf and free yourself from the chain of action and reaction. Bhagavad Gita says that any work, no matter what it is, causes a reaction. For example, you may nurse a patient. Apparently it is a good thing, but you are giving the patient medicine that comes from killing so many insects, trees, creepers, and animals. You may think that your nursing is a very pure duty, but you are causing a disturbance in the environment, and you will have to pay for that. In this way, whatever we do here cannot be perfectly good. The German philosopher Kant has said, "Without goodwill, no action can be perfectly good." But we are of the opinion that even goodwill is impossible here in this mundane plane. According to Kant, goodwill is a pure thing, whereas no action here can be perfect. But we say that even goodwill is impossible in the relative calculation of the world, because we are plodding in the mud of misunderstanding. Pure knowledge comes only from above, and we have to learn to accept that. When that sort of understanding comes within us, it is known as Shraddha, or faith. Faith is also a great thing. We should have faith that if we do our duty towards the Absolute, then all our duties to the environment in all directions are automatically done. Krishne bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. By satisfying Krishna, the whole universe becomes satisfied. For one who is dear to Krishna is dear to the whole universe. Jasmin tushte jagat tushtang prinite prinito jagat. Just as by watering the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are automatically nourished. By fulfilling one's duty towards Lord Krishna, all one's duties are automatically fulfilled. Everything is meant for Krishna. We are also meant for him. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. This is true knowledge, and this is the true situation of the world. Exploitation is an incomplete and reactionary idea for which we incur a debt that we shall later have to pay. We may go to Satyalok, the highest planet in the material universe, but by exploiting nature we incur a debt, become heavy, and go down. And when we go down, others come to exploit and extort us until our debts are paid. Then the heaviness goes, and we become light and go upward to the higher planetary systems again. And when we go up, we exploit those who are in a lower position. In this way, there is continual exploitation and clearance of debt. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 8:16. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Arvatinojuna Maam Upetya Tukontya Punar Janma Nabidyate. All planetary systems within this world of matter are places of repeated birth and death. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Upon going there, one never returns to this material world. Yad katva na navatante tad dhamma paramang mama. Krishna's abode is nirgun, or transcendental to any material quality. We must firmly establish the conception of Ishavasyam. Everything, including ourselves, is meant for the Supreme Lord. We are all his servants, and we are meant to utilize everything in his service. Any work we perform will bind us in this environment of matter, unless we perform yajna, sacrifice. Jagatat karmano nyatra loko jang karma bandana. And the Vedas enjoin, yajna by Vishnu. Sacrifice is meant exclusively for Vishnu or Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:24, where Krishna says, "I am the only enjoyer of every sacrifice, ahang hi sarva jagyanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha." Sacrifice is not meant for the country, or for the society, or for anything else. Sacrifice is meant only for the Supreme Lord. No one less than he is worthy of sacrifice. So, only by connecting our activities with the infinite can we be freed from the present environment of action and reaction. When knowledge comes in connection with the Absolute, it loses its filthy characteristic. Then we can have full knowledge, which will lead us to prema bhakti, love of God. Everything is meant for Krishna. He is the only enjoyer of everything. He is the absolute autocrat, and he is the absolute good. We are all his servants, and everything is meant for his satisfaction. We must come to this understanding. The Gurukul system of Vedic education should be conceived in this line.
Guru means heavy. Guru means one who dispels the darkness, and who is heavy, who cannot be moved by any proposal. He is so well established in the truth that no offer of alternative knowledge or any other proposal can move him from his position. He is firm there. He can help the Lagu, the people who are very light, those whom anyone can handle like dolls of play. But the Guru can never be moved from his position. He will sit tight there, heavier than the Himalayas, and face all fleeting conceptions of knowledge, breaking them right and left, and establishing the universal characteristic of absolute knowledge. He will impart knowledge of the absolute truth, Brahman, the supreme whole, dispelling all misconceptions and establishing knowledge of the absolute upon the throne of the heart. This is the conception of Gurukul, the Vedic system of education of ancient India. The Vedic system of education deals with knowledge proper, not half knowledge, but knowledge of the whole, which can deliver us from all troubles and guide us to the most desirable position. Nowadays we can sell knowledge, but this knowledge cannot be sold. Intellectual knowledge can be taken into the market, but this knowledge cannot be taken into the market, for this is absolute knowledge. Vedic knowledge gives us our fulfillment of life, attaining which we will no longer feel the necessity to run here and there for any greater knowledge. Previously, that knowledge was taught within the Gurukul, the ancient Vedic school. Vedic knowledge means knowledge which comes from outside the area of misunderstanding, miscalculation, and false historiography. The books recorded here are filled with temporary truths and misconceptions. Such things may be useful now, but after some time it won't work. Mundane law will have no position, and everything will be dissolved. The earth will be dissolved, matter will be dissolved, and we won't be able to trace any quality of matter when everything is reduced to ether. No trace of air or heat or anything else will remain in any way. With the dissolution of this mundane world, nothing will remain but transcendental knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.6, Krishna says, "One who reaches my abode never returns to this material world. Yat katvata nivartante tadhama paramang mama." The dissolution will go on in the plane of the material world, but if you can secure a visa for that land, if you can enter into that soil, you will never be mishandled. When the sun, moon, and stars are all dissolved, your eternal self, your devotional ego, will be quite safe in my plane. The material world is the land of exploitation. The spiritual world is the opposite, the land of dedication. In the middle there is the Brahma Jyoti, the line of demarcation between exploitation and dedication. Here in this material world, every unit is of an exploiting nature. There it is just the opposite. Everything there is wholly dedicated to the service of Krishna, and there is no want of anything. Rather, whatever is necessary to make service to Krishna possible comes automatically. Here, everything is based on karma, desire. So real service is not possible in this plane. There is no possibility of exploitation existing in the land of dedication, for every unit there is a dedicating one. In the lower portion of the land of dedication, there is some calculation, some awe and reverence. But in the higher sphere, it is all automatic, spontaneous love, a labor of love with increased intensity and earnestness. And we are only charmed by the beauty and love that is found in Golok Vrindavan, the supreme abode of Krishna. In a nutshell, this is what we understand by the grace of our spiritual masters. We are very much attracted by this conception, which has been given to us by our Gurudev, as he has received it from the Vedic scriptures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. This has been explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, by his teachings and practices, and this conception has been expounded by his followers, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan.